Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with your fire. Amen. Well, it's possible I've been cooped up too long. However, as I read the three lessons for today, it seemed a mystery to me how to put them together. Unless you look over the last several weeks of lessons, and that really gives it meaning. Since we were snowed out of church last Sunday, forgive me if I sound like the beginning of a TV program previously at Holy Cross. We have embarked upon the Epiphany journey, where Christ's identity was first proclaimed by the Magi and then affirmed in his baptism. The voice of God claims Jesus as the beloved Son of God. Then we hear of his first miracle at the wedding of Cana and the beginning of his ministry. Last week's gospel that you didn't hear, Jesus came to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he read this scripture from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. So claiming his identity given to him in baptism, Jesus stuns the crowd by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So what we hear in the gospel this morning is the response of the people who were disturbed by Jesus' teaching. Who is this man? Isn't this Joseph's son proclaiming to be the fulfiller of the prophecy? So they drive him out, nearly throwing him off of a cliff. Being a prophet, especially in one's hometown, is not a particularly popular vocation. Now, the epistles from Paul over the last few weeks tell of how the early Christ followers were struggling to come to terms with their identity as the body of Christ, trying to figure out what are the implications of their baptisms. Paul's words encourage them to embrace their identity as the body of Christ, imbued with all sorts of gifts, to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. In this morning's epistle, Paul says, "The greatest of these gifts given to each of us is the gift of love that endures all things and empowers us for ministry." So if we were to grapple with these same questions, what does it mean for me to be baptized into the body of Christ? How do we live into our calling? We might identify the most with the first reading this morning from Jeremiah. This reading is about God's call to Jeremiah as a young boy and his most human response. God's calling him to be a prophet to the people of Judah. It was an unexpected call and not exactly welcomed. Jeremiah lived in a divided kingdom where the northern province of Israel was overtaken by Assyrian rule and the southern territory of Judah was under siege. His ministry witnessed the rise of the Babylonian Empire and the fall of Jerusalem, which led to the exile. So God spoke to Jeremiah, appointing him to be a prophet to the nations. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." Now, the title prophet means to speak on behalf of. Jeremiah was called to speak to the people of Judah and the surrounding nations on behalf of God. He was given this daunting task to have to go to the people and chide them for having broken their covenant with the Lord, proclaiming judgment against a kingdom that had broken their promises. "Here am I, send me," said Isaiah, not Jeremiah. Unlike the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah was simply frightened, felt inadequate, didn't feel he had the skills or the knowledge. "Truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy," he says. But God chose one who was not prepared, whom God would equip and then accompany. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you." We've heard this scenario before, also in the call of Moses at the burning bush. He too felt ill-equipped to be the leader of the Israelites, and he resisted what God had envisioned for him. Yet each step of the way Moses took in faith, God filled him with the Spirit and empowered him to accomplish every task. So with Jeremiah, God put words in his mouth and gave him authority to speak to these nations, hard truths. God convicted Jeremiah to pluck up, to tear down, and to rebuild hearts anew for God. Okay, so if all call narratives were this dramatic, most of us could rest assured that God has not thundered onto the scene and told us we all need to be monastics or need to go into the priesthood. A call on your heart does not indicate that you need to leave your life as it is. God often uses the gifts that we've been given right where we are to do God's work in the world. God is much more imaginative and creative and beckons us to serve in so many capacities. But our human response is to feel inadequate, to think that we don't have what it takes to do God's work. "I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy." Or like Jesus experienced in his hometown, the voice sounds too familiar to be God's. Whatever our resistance, the voice that comes to us will change our heart. And God sometimes changes our circumstances, always giving us grace to choose. Now, as the fourth of four daughters, I often felt that mine was the last voice to be heard. Perhaps that was the hidden draw to becoming a therapist. People actually paid me for my opinions. But this gentle impression of a calling came very young, before women were being ordained and way before I could ever understand what challenges or blessings it would take. God did not call me because I was equipped, nor did I respond with zeal and passion. In fact, it took 26 years and a lot of side roads. God chooses us, tells us not to fear, and then equips us with what we need. But to discern God's voice, you have to listen creatively. A call might come in quiet impressions, or maybe scripture that just jumps off the page at you and has new meaning for some reason, or a prophetic word from a stranger. But what an encounter with God asks us to consider is, have we limited our imaginations? Have we hardened our hearts to God's possibilities for our lives? Then God waits for us to say yes. Sometimes we don't respond until all of our priorities and our plans have failed. And sometimes it's in our brokenness that we actually open our hearts enough to be open to the possibilities that God has for us. An old Hasidic tale tells of a small boy that comes to a rabbi and says, "Rabbi, why does the Torah ask us to place the holy words upon our hearts? And why does it not tell us to place them in our hearts?" And the rabbi answers, "It is because as we are, our hearts are closed. We cannot place the holy words in our hearts, so we place them on top of our hearts. And they stay until one day our heart breaks and the words fall in. The voice of our calling has a way of plucking us up and tearing us down and rebuilding our hearts anew for God. If this scripture is to be fulfilled in our hearing, the word today means we have to embrace the now of our calling, not depend upon our ancestors in the past, these heroes that we read about, or our descendants in the future. God has imbued us all with specific gifts to do God's work in the now, in the world where it's needed. We have only to listen with our hearts. I invite each of you to listen carefully for the voice of God in your heart, what your calling is, what your special gifts are. And I take a lot of solace in the words of Frederick Buechner when I start thinking about, oh my gosh, God's going to call me to do something really crazy. No, God gets us where our passions are. Frederick Buechner says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. This morning, we embarked upon a series of listening sessions where we engaged in dialogue with one another to listen for the voice of God for this congregation, for our calling. We'll listen in this whole process for the prophetic voices among you that have important things to say right from God about where we need to go, about what work we need to do in the future, and how we can use the particular gifts of this body of Christ. May we have the wisdom to hear the voice of our calling and the courage to say yes. And when our hearts are broken, I pray that we can envision the words dropping into our hearts and giving us endurance and encouragement. Late in his calling, Jeremiah received these words of comfort to give to those who had lost heart. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future and a hope. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. I know we can do this as well. Amen.